hypocrite, the snake bit in the pulpit, the words to misinterpret, the shadow walks beside you. Come to realize life will begin when Satan is king. Free will, vital sign, spirit born under blackened wing, will materialize at the shrugs of his father's crimes. Wickedest man alive, the babe, the beast are intertwined. Death will not break you, and thoughts won't betray you. The planets will align. Smoke you'll turn into, the earth cannot shake you. The specter comes alive. A wolf in sheep's dress, the shepherd only wants your flesh, to drink your blood in Congress. A jailer in the jury, scorn to refuse. His love is but a can of fuse, a garden filled up with abuse. Fear the master's fury. Come to realize life will begin when Satan is king. Free will, vital sign, be reborn on a blackened wing. Will materialize at the shrugs of his father's crimes. Wickedest man alive, the babe, the beast are intertwined.
Sleepwolf. They've got an album called Sunbeams Curl coming out quite shortly, to be honest, the 18th of February. So not long to wait for this one. That was a song called Satan is King, and I got complete Black Widow vibes from that. Come to the Sabbath. I think there's several songs we played recently that kind of had that retro vibe and that kind of pagan Satanist kind of Hammer horror vibe to it, and this captures it perfectly. I love this so much. I'd not heard of these before, Peter. Have you sort of heard them before?
No, I'm not sure if I know the name or not, to be honest. I mean, it's out on Heavy Psych Sounds, who, you know, and I mean, in between putting out these kind of vast career spanning vinyl reissues of seminal bands, I've noticed they've done like Kailisa and Karma to Burn recently.
Yes.
You know, they continue. You know, I sometimes wonder whether they'll just become a label doing that, but no, they continue to about, you know, pretty much the best of the what remains of the stoner rock world. And it's through them I found Sleepwolf, because, you know, I'll always listen to kind of the new bands they put forward. And yeah, I mean, they're from Sweden. I hadn't heard them before, although they have been around a bit. I've since found out, you know, of course, they sound like they're from Sweden. You know, that no other country seems to produce bands that sound like this, or at least not with as rich a sound anyway. I notice on, you know, on the Bandcamp, the kind of the state influences of obviously Sabbath, but also Jethro Tull, which you can hear in like a joyous way. It reminds me of bands like Troubled Horse, and, you know, inevitably of Witchcraft, I suppose, you know, which kind of, you know, the prime band that hark back through, you know, that you allude to. You know, I don't think it's direct, but it's, you know, in the same way they've got these like truly distinctive vocals. But it also reminds me of bands like, you know, from like the Electro Hash stable, kind of Color Haze label, you know, bands like Hazire, I suppose. It's, you know, that mixture of those two elements, it's intoxicating. It's like, it's not totally proto-doom, although obviously it's got this kind of occultness to it.
Yeah.
But also it's not fully the heavy psych of the latter either. So it kind of nestles in between, you know, setting up home in its own kind of niche, I guess. And that's what I thought was really cool about this.
Yeah, definitely. I think that does it some favours, and it sounds very organic. I think they said they've recorded it onto an old tape machine in a woodland studio in the countryside. So that makes so much sense when you hear it. It's got that kind of, not a hiss to it, but that kind of organic, very sort of real captured sound, hasn't it? So yeah, I really enjoyed that. Like you say, it's got that proto sort of sound to it. And yeah, I think it's like a weaved kind of majesty to it. Really, really enjoyed that. So as we say, the album's called Sunbeams Curl, and you can get that at heavypsychsoundsrecords.bandcamp.com. So as ever, it's the Nine Notes podcast. It's nine amazing tracks we've heard from the UK and beyond on the underground through submissions or just finding things through Bandcamp. This next one is some like old favourites, I guess, some old faces that we know from years of putting on gigs in Sheffield and you know, various bands and just the scene in general. So former members of Cython and Swamp Coffin have come together to create another band from Rotherham that sound sort of evil, but I think in a different way. I think Chapel Floods have released their first, I guess, EP, three tracks, came out January 24th. And yeah, absolutely love this. It's got kind of like a, I don't know if you met, you probably do, Pete, but do you remember that band Kang from Bradford? It sounds like that. It sounds like that sort of late 90s, early 2000s, like doom rock, like stoner rock kind of mashup sort of stuff. Really accomplished stuff. And I think like quite unique as well. The vocals are incredibly like different. And I wouldn't sort of have pegged them to sound like this. I thought it could be more sludge. I know sort of the members that are involved here have been in heavier bands before. So this is quite an interesting listen, like first time round. It's got maybe a bit like hints of grunge as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that Kang reference. I hadn't thought of that. Although, you know, I don't think I've thought of Kang for a few years either.
Yeah.
I think that's nailed it. Actually, I really, you know, really impressed. I saw them like supporting Clutch like 20 years ago, and they were incredible. Anyway, it is good. You know, I mean, Rotherham's it's stacked at the moment. You know, I think we played Bodak last week, add in Cython and Swamp Coffin, and, you know, go back to Berserkvitz and all. You know, and it's incredible. You know, like it's considering it's the smaller town or smaller city town next to kind of Sheffield, it's probably outstripping it at the moment, outstripping us. And it's brilliant, you know, it's really good to see, and it's good to see kind of, you know, our friends, but like, you know, Sean, for example, who's in this band, who is in Swamp Coffin, and, you know, we've known for 20 years, I guess, since we've been in Sheffield, going, you know, and he's been in bands throughout, you know, ever since, so really good, and yeah, I like it, you know, I really like it. This sounds familiar in many ways, you know, from the whole stoner doom sludge axis, but it's like you say, but with elements which you don't always put together. So grunge and sludge, And then almost like the Southern States stoner slant, God, that's not easy to say, added to it as well. And it's just a really cool introduction to a new band.
Yeah, I think they've kind of set up the aesthetic quite well as well. There's, you know, this sort of mysterious name, and I presume that's to do with some dark period of Rotherham's history. They said born on the banks of the Don, in the washed out sludge of a forever flooding northern wasteland, which really, really paints a bleak picture. And I think the music sort of matches that as well. So really, really enjoyed this. If you like what you hear in this next track, then go and check it out. I think it's £2.50 sort of to download. So yeah, just throw them a few quid and keep up with this kind of burgeoning Rotherham scene. You know, it's the place to be, clearly. We've been doing it wrong all these years. We're going to play a song called Crooked Noose off this. It's off the self-titled Chapel Floods record, and you can get this at chapelfloods.bandcamp.com. Was the excellent new band from Rotherham called Chapel Floods. Brilliant stuff there. Moving on to Caligari Records next, who we play a bunch of stuff from for good reason. This next band, Dolsfad, just really sort of blew my mind, really. You've picked this, Pete, and I think I would have as well. I mean, it's kind of grim, and it's got that kind of ripping old school feel to it that I kind of hooked onto. I've had a bit of a death metal week, I think. I've been listening to bands like Immolation and, you know, just stuff that's full of invention. And I think this kind of matches that vibe. So I guess he came across this because of Caligari, but I think we would have like picked up on this one anyway, like wherever it came out.
Yeah, funnily enough, I've had a pretty kind of psych heavy week this week, as kind of my choice is large, you know, show. But, you know, like you say, I'll list everything Caligari put out, and we could probably play more. You know, that I mean, that is incredible. They're like a machine, like this harbinger of death metal, you know, like absolutely unrelenting in like an output and quality. But this one stood out even above that, you know, it just, I don't know what it was. It is that kind of old school metal feel to it, not just the old school death metal, which obviously it is, you know, the kind of on the label page it names like Bolt Thrower and kind of the early death albums as influences, you know, obviously, but it's straight up heavy metal as well, which feels old and timeless at the same time. You know, you throw in the kind of the medieval aesthetic to it, you know, kind of the battle scene artwork on the cassette, which feels like that leaks into the music and it sounds ancient and decrepit and, you know, simultaneously battle hardened and glorious. You know, it's kind of the best of old school death metal and old metal, and it just sounds alive with it.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think someone in the comments mentions Benediction, which is a good comparison, really, that kind of driving old school metal sort of vibe like you suggested. So yeah, I just, this whole release is just really exciting. And yeah, I kind of had, there's something to it. There's something unfathomable that kind of drew me in. And yeah, I think I listened to it about 3 or 4 times in a row. I just kind of flipped it on again. And I was like, there's something very special about this. So yeah, I'd recommend people go and have a listen to the full record, which is called Chronike 2. So we're going to play a song of it called Doma Dagan's Liar. And you can get this, as ever, at caligarirecords.bandcamp.com. Thank you. So that was an amazing band called Dodsvad on Caligari Records. They're really cool stuff. Similar vibe, I guess, but maybe a bit more techie. This next band, Night Hag, I kind of found on the record label Rotted Life. And I kind of picked it because I heard this one song we're going to play, and it really sort of got to me. I thought maybe we'll play it next week, maybe. And then the more I listened to it, the more it kind of got into my mind. And it's just this filthy kind of blackened kind of death stuff. But the technical drumming really kind of drew me in on this one. And I think that's why I like it so much, particularly this track. But yeah, the whole record is fantastic. What did you make of this one, Pete? Because this is kind of maybe a curveball for me.
I like this. You know, I hoped I would when I kind of looked at it after you'd sent it to me. Everything about it, you know, like the artwork's brilliant. If you look at the band name, it's I love. There's a band logo on there which looks proper old school metal, you know, like when you were into metal in your teens, and you know, it just, yeah. I was hoping that this was good, I got it straight away. For me, what grabbed me was its absolute lack of pace. You know, it's obviously bringing in, you know, like the doom elements too. I mean, you know, there are segments which kind of speed up and inject a bit of adrenaline in there, but for the most part, it's turgid, trudging, and that just, you know, it just feels drained of momentum and drive, you know, like sucked dry by the doom air. And I really like that about it. If you look at the blurb, there's a one-word description. Well, one word I took out there, which says, it calls it gluey. And I don't know, why. That just seems like I got that completely. You know, like they compare it also to like Coffins and Cyanide as well, which resonates. You know, Cyanide are a band I'd never heard of until a year ago. And when I was kind of getting into, I was kind of getting into death metal, and I was really focusing on death doom towards the end. But, you know, that was a band I discovered, you know, one of the early pioneers of that. And yeah, I hear that here. And it just feels like this kind of, I don't know, like zombified corpse of death doom filth. So
yeah,
that's a good thing. I really like it.
Definitely. Yeah. I think, the sort of song titles are very sort of death metal and very sort of rudimentary kind of, you know, cliched, but they do cover necrophagia and mortician on here as well. So yeah, it's that kind of vibe. That's where they're coming from. And it's coming out on Everlasting Spew as well. I think they're putting tape out on about five different labels for different countries. I have to say that the album actually comes out on tape on a pea soup vomit colour. So that's exactly where they're coming from. Bit more gory than we normally play. But I think this is a bit more kind of accomplished than that suggests. So yeah, if you want to hear the album Phantasmal Scourge by Night Hag, you can go to rottedlife.bandcamp.com, find it there. We'll be right back. So from the depths of depravity with Night Hag, we're going to go into something a little bit more clean and a little bit more fresh. So Cryptograph from Norway. We've played them before. And yeah, I was absolutely taken with their previous release. I think that was their self-titled debut in 2020. So yeah, really, really enjoyed that. They've released a new album called The Eldorado Spell. And yeah, it's even, I don't know, crisper and cleaner than they were before. I absolutely love the sound here. It's just so pure, but like uplifting at the same time. It's not sort of clinical or sterile. It's got this kind of heart to it and warmth to it that I really like.
Yeah, as I was saying, I picked Sleepwolf, which I've already played, and Cryptograph. You know, two Scandinavian bands. You know, both applying the heavy to 60s. You know, devilish psych music, I guess. And what a treat to have both these, you know, this week. I was really kind of just getting my fill of it this week. I absolutely loved it. It just feels like it's like gold standard fuzzed up proto doom goodness. You know, I mean, both tracks really. This, like you say, it does feel bright and open, and you know, it feels like it glows with life affirming, you know, retro energy. And then this track, this is the last track on the album, and then. You know, like to go through a really good album, but then to hit this at the end, it's just incredible. You know, it's like there's an intro for 30 seconds on the track, but then when that passes and the riff kicks in, I was just like completely so instantly knew I loved this. You know, you know, I can point to Witchcraft again, I guess. I mean, it's such an obvious reference point for this type of music, and it's a bit lazy to be honest, but I suppose, you know, it to be fair, it does, it even sounds slightly like Child of Fire off kind of Firewood, but. It's an addition, you know, Cryptograph feel like an addition to those, you know, that rich group of bands rather than, just an imitating follower. And, you know, like the best of this music, it sounds like a reminiscence of decades ago in a real wonderful way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Completely, absolutely relevant because it's bold and it's fun and just has this, you know, carefree songwriting joy to it.
Yeah, there seems to be a big group of these bands kind of producing this kind of retro sound, but with a new twist that's very captivating, I find, and very listenable. Spelljammer came to mind like this to this as well. So a great album from last year. So yeah, I just thought it was great. Looks like it's coming out on some really lush looking vinyl as well. So yeah, if you want to sort of check this out, it's coming out on something called Apollon Records. But you can get this at cryptograph.bandcamp.com. Like Pete said, we're going to play the final track on the album. This is called The Well. We'll be right back. Okay, so that was the excellent Cryptograph there. Really good to see them come back. Next up, we've got a band that we played the first EP of back in July last year. So it's not too long since the last release, but Eaters of the Soil, a sort of collective from Utrecht, which I think includes someone from Dead Neanderthals, which isn't surprising because that kind of crops up quite a lot these days. It's quite rare for us not to put a podcast together without Dead Neanderthals having some sort of hand in it. So, good to see them back again. This is their second EP, which they've just called EP2. And, it's fantastic. It's kind of like a mix of really unpleasant doom mixed with, pretty unpleasant samples, but then alleviated by this sax kind of riveting around and reverberating around the sound. And I just thought this is, again, just a really interesting release. I think the first one really captivated me and this one's done the same. But this sounds even darker somehow. I don't know how they've done it, but really, really interesting. So Pete, what did you reckon to this?
It took me a while. You know, I mean, it makes me laugh. On the thing, it says it's like a non-traditional approach to doom, which is understating it, really. I guess, state they had on free jazz and noise and improv. And then, I put the track on after you sent it to me, and it takes, I think it's 4 minutes, and I think, is it going to ignite at all? It's just, or is it going to be so far improv and noise and free jazz to kind of fly over my head? And I did wonder. But then after, at that point, it does, it kind of explodes as this kind of down-tuned, bassy weight, which, it really is dark and doom, as well as this kind of, like you say, the sax, the jazz, brass, and it feels rewarding as well as a relief, at that point. And I suppose that's kind of what they're trying to achieve, like these kind of real kind of long passages and then contrast in it. And it just, the whole thing feels like controlled chaos, I guess.
Yeah, I think what they're trying to do here is create like a narrative, almost like a story. And the person who's the only person who's reviewed it so far has sort of almost treated it like a novel or something. So they said, this is chapter two, the plot thickens, new characters and scenarios are introduced to be read, wait, back to be listened to both in one go, and how will it end? I bet the trombone player is the murderer, which I think is perfect. It's kind of like a murder mystery played out in front of your eyes. And I think we were going to play the first track off this, but the sample is just so unpleasant. It sounds like some sort of serial killer confessing to various unpleasant crimes. It's not for the faint of heart, I think. So if you want to sort of dive into this, then there's 40 odd minutes of this to sort of digest. And you can find this at eatersofthesoil.bandcamp.com. We're going to play the song 6, Untouched, Unspoken To. Thank you.
gas winner hasn't told us about the gutting, or the suicide, or the terror of one person aching in one place alone, untouched, unspoken to, watering a plant.
that was the excellent Eaters of the Soil. Absolutely brilliant stuff from Utrecht. Next up, we've got the band The Mountain King, which is an album called Wallow has come out on Curse Monk Records. And yeah, this is proper, almost like representative of Curse Monk, like very sort of dark, very mysterious. And I think this one is kind of mired in experimentation as well. There's all sorts of kind of loops and, you know, effects happening on this. And among that, there's this kind of strange, otherworldly kind of doom sound to it. And I thought this was absolutely fascinating stuff. Really sort of steeped in oddness here. I mean, this label are known for kind of bringing us really strange but captivating releases. And I think this is a really good sort of example of that. Pete, you picked this, but I think I kind of had to really work at this to kind of work through the noise and experimentation of it to get to this good stuff. And it's just so rewarding once you get past it, because it really sort of wrong-footed me to begin with, I'm going to be honest.
Yeah. I mean, I heard it, and then Curse Monk were, you know, kind of send us the album in advance of its release. You know, I think it's fully released towards the end of February. And it was only then that it really, really clicked. And I think, you know, you could say you've got, you know, don't just listen to this track, listen to the whole album. But that's just, that's really true here, because the whole thing is an, you know, it's a real ambitious piece of art. You know, the whole, it's based around this kind of concept of the whole thing being a palindrome. So the album essentially plays itself backwards from the halfway point onwards. Yeah. But also within tracks, it's kind of, you know, there's mirrors placed here and there. So it feels like you listen to places, you know, like the song in reverse at a point. And that makes a really strange listen, because, you know, if it was purely just the second half of the album was the first half in reverse, you probably just wouldn't listen to it, you know, or at least wouldn't listen to it beyond the first time. But because you've got reflective parts earlier on, they suddenly become the, you know, played the right way around. And actually it feels completely, you know, disorientating, mirror upon mirror.
I think that's what threw me. Yeah.
Yeah. And it so much it almost kind of envelopes in on itself in this kind of myriad of reflections. And that, you know, it feels like a, you know, like an interactive museum art project.
Yes.
And while that might be, you know, fascinating in its own right, as a, you know, as a music album, that might not stand, you know, it might not stand up beyond that first listen. But then, you know, it does have these songs in there, actual, you know, what feels like actual songs. And this is a perfect example of it. It's still weird. It's still got that reflective element to it. But I think that's why this album's more than just that curio. It, you know, it has these tracks you can kind of latch into in isolation. But really, it's got, you know, it is an album, and it's an incredible, you know, incredible piece of ambition and something, you know, completely strange. And I think what I felt at the end of it felt mystical, and I couldn't quite feel why, you know, I couldn't put my finger on why. Not like a psych album or anything, but it just felt, I think, you know, it is unique. So, and more so than any time we ever use that word. So, you know, well done to him.
Yeah, really, really interesting. And like I say, like it completely kind of threw me and almost made me a little bit uncomfortable the first time I heard it. But I think having, you know, given it a more thorough listen and understood that concept, it's kind of made a lot more sense. And there's so much invention in there and sort of so much to be found. So, yeah. So if you like the idea of this like miasmic piece of art as an album, you should delve in at cursedmonk.bandcamp.com. We're going to play the only track that they've released sort of ahead of time. This is called For Sophos.
Thank you.
So that was a band called The Mountain King on Curse Monk Records. I think that's one to really check out if you sort of enjoyed the weirdness of that, then definitely get on the album. Next up, we've got a returning band to the podcast called Carpacanaut from Ireland. We played a track off their album Transmissions back in September 2020. I think this was a project sort of born of lockdown and kind of a jam sort of band. And it was very sort of psychedelic before and very sort of, like that suggests, just like a big cosmic jam. This one is a lot more kind of tightly focused, I guess, but no less interesting for it. And yeah, it's called Light as a Particle. And yeah, I just really enjoyed this. There's a whole track kind of that sort of has spoken word all over it, but I think the rest of them have this kind of like doomy kind of focus to it that's maybe missing from that previous release. What did you reckon, Pete?
Yeah, I was surprised. You know,
I've
kept tabs on them since we played them, because it's, you know, they're an interesting band. It's always been worth the listen. It feels like an invitation to be like a fly on the wall in the practice room. I was surprised by this release. I didn't realize, you know, they say this is going back to where they started, which is more towards like, you know, post-metal or sludge, really.
Mm.
So yeah, it's a lot heavy, and you can tell really early on it's got a much darker tone to it. The vocals I found really impressive and fitting to that. And it's like the whole thing's been blackened by doom. To be honest, the one thing it reminded me of, I was checking my thing when there's another reference out there which eluded me, but the other one I kind of thought was, it sounds like Slamatics at times.
Yes.
And that, you know, that's as high a praise as you get in my household.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, shared here as well. I mean, you know, that band are sort of the gold standard for this kind of music, I guess. So, yeah, impressive that they're kind of getting up to that level. I just thought this was very atmospheric. I kind of had this on a sort of long walk the other day, and it was perfect for that. It was very sort of, it sounded like pastoral as well as that kind of spacey vibe that we got from Transmissions before. I actually missed that they put out a record last year called Hot Carp Summer, so I'm going to have to go and have a look at that as well. Really, really exciting record. So if you want to take a listen to this, you can go to carpacanaut.bandcamp.com. The album's called Light as a Particle. We're going to play the song Minimum Units. We'll be right back. So that was the excellent Carpacanut there from Ireland. Next up, we've got the latest release from Wrong Speed Records. Now, this is a band called The Web of Lies from Glasgow, and it's sold out almost immediately. I think a lot of their records are at the moment. So this is Neil Robinson from Buffet Lunch and Edwin Stevens from Irma Vep and Yerba Mansa. I don't know if you've come across Irma Vep or Yerba Mansa before, Pete, but I've seen both of those before, and they're sort of very accomplished, strange, psychedelic band in their own right. I've never come across Buffet Lunch before, but certainly going to be tracking them down after this. And yeah, I mean, Joe from Wrong Speed has sort of been almost picking his favourites, you know, around the country to release, and he's picking up some really interesting, unique new bands as well. I mean, this is brilliant. Such a strange combination of sounds, but yeah, really effective. And I think we both picked this without sort of consulting each other, I think. So yeah, that kind of speaks volumes. What sort of spoke to you about this one then?
I don't know. I'd loved it instantly. It's the guitar sound. It's completely entrancing, you know. I realized kind of in this podcast, actually, I've referenced, you know, the labels kind of, bands they compare them to, which I try and avoid normally too, but I think the labels have gone spot on. And Joe from Wrong Speed, since, you know, has done it here as well, he mentions, like, you know, American psych bands like Velvet Underground and Sunburned Hand of the Man and Comets on Fire, and you know, that totally fits me. And it's got like that lo-fi psych element to it, but with this like grey-skied UK slant to it, you know, from, you know, it's like from a world of, you know, like Back General, thick coat, like roll-ups and Foggy Days, rather than kind of, you know, San Fran Flowers and
Green. It's an absolute contrast.
Yeah, which is what, you know, I mean, to be fair, you know, like it's how I imagine, almost certainly incorrectly, you know, the creators, you know, when I'm listening to like Moonjuro or like Quest for Fire, you know, that's how I imagine it. It's probably, you know, no more true than it is of our country, but it feels, you know, you can hear that in the music as well. It's got, you know, I don't know. I found this completely magical. I can't put my, you know, my finger on where it's at. And I don't really want to kind of think about it in that way, because this is my favorite song of the year so far.
Wow. Okay. That's saying something.
Yeah. I mean, it's not, we're not that far into the year, but.
Oh no.
We have listened to a hell of a lot of music so far already, but, and this just, you know, just immediately I was in love with it.
Yeah. It's certainly exciting, and I can't wait to hear the rest of the record, to be honest. I know we might have been sent it in emails as well. So, yeah, really, really exciting. I think Joe's got like a real ear for the odd, but also the tangibly kind of just great. Like, people will pick up on this. Like, you'll get your kind of psychedelic kind of rock fans into this, but you'll also get your chin-stroking supersonic types into it as well. So, yeah, it's just... very accomplished, and it reminds me of a lot of bands that used to sort of like frequent you know, nights like Noise Doll Basement in Sheffield. Like, I used to go to these gigs where there was maybe seven people there, and I saw some amazing like Norwegian stuff. Nogzagd, I think I saw in this basement in front of about four people, and it's that kind of vibe. It's that kind of maybe like 2000s vibe, like coming alive again. And you know, people like Joe are keeping that sort of flame burning. So yeah, complete inventiveness here. And yeah, just really enjoyed it. So the band is called The Web of Lies. They're a duo, but they've got loads of guests on this album as well. So if you want to go and have a look who's on that, then check out wrongspeedrecords.bandcamp.com. And this is a song called Receiver off the album Nude with Demon. We'll see you next week. We'll be right back.
Money.